All right, that's a great song to sing. Paul writes in Ephesians, he talks about how all the amazing things we have in Jesus Christ and how he has died, he was buried, he rose again, he has been raised to heaven, he is seated at the right hand of God, and he's ruling. And then Paul says, and oh, by the way, you've been buried with Christ, you've been raised with Christ, you are seated with Christ. And so, praise the Lord, we know how the ending is, right? Our world is kind of topsy-turvy right now. That's okay. God is still sovereign. God is still king. He's still on his throne. And guess what? The earth is his footstool. And so we can rest and not freak out. We can rest and know what he allows to happen is going to happen. Amen? And he's not taken by surprise. Well, this morning, I've made a transition. A week ago, I had my cataract removed. And so now I can see 5 miles that way. The problem is right here. I can't see right here. So I joined the ranks, and I am now a Dollar Tree shopper. Got my Dollar Tree, $1.50 readers. So, I can't see any of you, but I can see this. That's the most important thing. You're all distorted. Sorry, but I saw you before. You look good, right? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be there this morning, and as you saw on that title slide, we're going to be looking at truthful words and lives. Let's pray, and then we'll kind of jump into things. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity, the gift you've given us to be together, to sing praises, the gift to be able to celebrate gifts of men in our church who serve because they love you. They serve because they love your church. They love the people at High Point, and we just thank you for them. It's humbling and exciting to watch them do what they do. And so I just pray that you would bless them. I know you bless them, but just bless them in a new way. May they know that we really appreciate them and love them. Help me as I preach. Help us to understand Jesus' words here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Matthew 5:33. Jesus has been doing some amazing ministry. He saw huge crowds gathering, Matthew says. So he went up on a mountain, gathered his disciples around, and began preaching this message that we've been looking at about his kingdom. And he taught them about life in his kingdom, right? Talked about attitudes he wanted to see in his followers and values of his kingdom. He talked about what kind of people he would bless. He talked about how his disciples were to be salt and light in the world. They were to be different. They were to be making a difference. And he talked about why he came. Was he replacing the law? People were wondering. He's this amazing teacher. He teaches with authority like no one else. Was he giving a new law? And so he told his listeners that he had come actually to fulfill the law. And we've been looking at this section where Jesus explains the heart behind God's law. You see, the law was given to show people, you and I, our heart problem, right? The law was given to show that we are all sinners. We all fall short of God's glory. And to disobey one law, James says, if you break one, you are a lawbreaker. And so Jesus is trying to get his listeners to pick up on this. And in our passage this morning, Jesus actually challenged his disciples and those listening about being truthful, having truthful words, and living truthful lives. So let's look at it. It's just a couple verses. Matthew 5, 33 through 37. I'm still trying to figure out where I need to be. So if you see me, that's why. Okay? I'm not about ready to pass out. Well, maybe. But we'll see what happens here. So this is what Jesus says. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So Jesus wants his followers, he wants his kingdom people to speak truthful words. He wants them to live truthful lives. Look at this, it's interesting. James Patterson and Peter Kim wrote a book. The title of it is The Day America Told the Truth. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? And this is what they find. They found, they looked at, do people lie or do people tell the truth? And they found that 91% of people actually admitted that they lie routinely about trivial matters. Isn't that crazy? Just, oh yeah, just lie. It's not a big deal, okay? 36% lie about important matters. Whoa, that's significant. This will make you feel good if you're a parent. 86% of people say they lie to their parents. What? Are you kidding me? 75% lie to friends and siblings. Isn't that is eye-opening, isn't it? Well, look at this. Have you heard this? Have you heard that atoms are just like liars? Do you know that? Yeah. They make up everything. That's good, isn't it? That's good. Got to have a couple dad jokes. Here's the next one. Do you know why skeletons are such bad liars? Ever thought about that? Skeletons are terrible liars. Here's why. You can see right through them. Boom, right? So that's for those of you who are going to try and get some candy this week. There's at least two that you can give, right? So today's sermon title, again, is Truthful Words and Lives. So let's look at our passage a little closer, and we're going to see this. First of all, Jesus wants his followers to do some things, right? Here's the first one. Jesus wants his followers to keep the oaths they have made. Keep the oaths you have made. Look at it. Matthew 5, 33 through 36. He says, again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. Okay? Now Jesus goes on and he says, but I say to you, don't take an oath at all. But it's important to look at, and as I was thinking about this, were there times when it was okay to make an oath or swear to God? Right? Jesus has just finished talking about being faithful to your spouse. Interesting. And what has he said? Be faithful to that vow you have made. Be faithful to it. You promised to leave, to cleave, and to weave. So what God has joined together, let no man separate. Keep your word. So Jesus is trying to get his listeners to understand. Guys, keep the oaths you have made. Be faithful. Look at what Moses said in Numbers 30. Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the people of Israel saying, this is what the Lord has commanded. Okay, that's interesting. When the Bible says that, be sure and check it out. If a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. So what is Moses saying? He was saying, look, guys, when you make an oath, when you swear an oath to bind yourself to someone, to God, you had better keep it. You need to fulfill it. Don't break your word. What you say, you need to do, right? So look at Deuteronomy. Moses writes, he says, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin if you don't do it, right? But if you refrain from vowing, you will not be guilty of sin. You didn't make a promise you didn't keep, right? You shall be careful to do what has passed your lips. For you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. important. Jesus wants his followers to keep their vows, to keep their oaths, right? So let's look at this just a little bit more. Keep the oaths they've made. Vows to God are fine. They were fine. Jesus wasn't saying, don't ever make a vow to God. They were fine. You don't have to, but if you do, you better keep your vow, right? So let's look here a little farther, a little deeper. Numbers 6, 1 through 8. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people Israel and say to them, when either a man or a woman makes a special vow, the vow of a Nazarite, to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar made from wine or strong drink, shall not drink any juice of grapes or eat grapes, fresh or dried. All the days of his separation, he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, not even the seeds or the skins. All the days of his vow of separation, no razor shall touch his head. Until the time is completed for which he separates himself to the Lord, he shall be holy. He shall let the locks of his hair, of his head, grow long. Goes on, all the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. That's interesting. Not even for his father or for his mother, for brother or sister. If they die, shall he make himself unclean. Don't go, don't touch them. Why? Because his separation to God is on his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy to the Lord. So God was saying to Moses, people, they can dedicate themselves to me. They can set them apart, themselves apart for me. They can make an oath. They can dedicate themselves to that. That happened with Samson. You remember? Samson was to be a Nazarite. That happened with John the Baptist as well. We've been going through the book of Acts on Sunday night, and it's possible that Paul made a Nazarite vow for a while. Because when you see what he did when he went to Jerusalem, it's like, oh, that's what you do when you come out of a Nazarite vow. Kind of interesting. So Jesus isn't necessarily saying, don't ever take an oath. It's okay to make an oath to God. He wants his followers to keep them. Okay? Vows to God are fine. Just know if you make a vow, you better keep it. Look at Psalm 132. Here's David. Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. David made a vow. He wanted to build a house for God. He wanted to build a temple. But if you know the story, God was like, no, David, you're our warrior. You have been my man. You're a man after my own heart, but there's blood on your hands. And so you won't be able to fulfill this vow. Your son Solomon will. But David made a vow. Look at Genesis 14. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I've lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. Let Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre take their share. So if you remember the story, we've been going through Genesis over the summer. Abram let the king of Sodom know, hey, I've made a vow to God, right? I went and rescued Lot. I saved his family. I saved people from your kingdoms. I defeated the kidnappers. They're taken care of, right? But I'm not going to take anything from the spoils of war. I don't want it. I don't even consider it mine. I don't want anybody to be able to say that you, King of Sodom, made me rich. I only want people to be able to say that God has made Abram rich. God has blessed Abram. That's interesting, isn't it? So what does Abram do? He's like, I'll tell you what, I'm going to feed my men, and then I'm going to give a tenth, I'm going to tithe to Melchizedek the priest. All because why? He made a vow to God. He made a vow to God. He didn't have to, but he did. And so he kept his vow. That's important. Here's another thing. Vows to God are fine, but we also see that vows to other people are fine as well. You don't have to, but you can. Just be careful, okay? So let's look here. Hebrews 6:16 says, the writer of Hebrews is just making the statement. He says, "For people swear by something greater themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation." Now he goes on and he explains how God has made an oath, okay? It's really pretty cool. You'll have to keep reading in that chapter. We won't spend too much time. But the writer of Hebrews is making a statement. There are times in life when people make an oath. So you think about that. There are times, why? Why do people want you to make an oath? Well, it's because they don't really know you. And the reality is that we're all sinners, and we all, based on the book America Finally Told the Truth, we all lie. And so there are times, like in court, when you go and you put your hand on the Bible and you raise your right hand and you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me. Because if you don't, that's the intent. The intent is if I'm lying, may God take care of me. It's adding weight to what you're saying. You're letting the person know, I am 100% sober. I'm 100% in tune with what's going on, and I am telling you the truth, okay? Another one, we do it in marriage. Marriage, two people stand before witnesses, and they stand before God, and they make vows. I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That's important. It's okay to make those oaths to other people. There are times for that to take place. May God be just and punish me if I don't keep my word. So let's look at Genesis again. Here's where some people made some promises. Abram said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac." Was it wrong for Abraham to ask that? Was it wrong for Abraham's servant to swear to fulfill his master's charge? No. Abram wanted his servant to grasp how significant this was to him. This is a big deal. Will you swear to keep my charge? And he did. And guess what? He did. Pretty powerful thing. Look at Genesis 26. "In the morning they rose early and exchanged oaths, and Isaac sent them on their way, and they departed from him in peace." We looked at this actually this summer, where Isaac was settling near King Abimelech. And you remember they had this huge falling out. Abraham had dug wells, and the shepherds were mad, and Isaac was like digging them out and getting water again. And so there was all these fights, and Isaac is slowly moving away, right? And finally, King Abimelech and Isaac get together this morning, and they make oaths to each other. "Hey, let's bury the hatchet. We won't be trouble for each other. Okay, we make this oath." So vows to God, they can be fine. They're important. Vows to others, they can be fine. Okay? But Jesus wants his followers to keep those oaths that you made. They're important. Here's the next thing, though. We see Jesus wants us to avoid careless oaths or insincere oaths. This is where we really start to have the rubber meet the road. Okay, so let's look at what Jesus said in Matthew 5. He said, "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black." Or if you're me, you can't make your hair grow. Okay, I've tried. So this is what Jesus is getting at. Last week, Greg took us to Matthew 19, where we kind of see kind of backstory of why Jesus would say these things right at the beginning of his ministry. Let's go to Matthew 23. This is a crazy section of scripture where Jesus just starts calling out the religious leaders. This is part of it. He says this, "Woe to you, blind guides," talking to the religious leaders. "You blind guides who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it's nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, oh, you're bound by your oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it's nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he's bound by his oath." Jesus goes on, "You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and everything in it and him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it." Jesus called the religious leaders out. Why? Because they had turned something that was okay to do into something so that they didn't have to do it. They had turned it into something that was insincere. "I swear by the temple, but not to God. I swear by the altar, but not to God. Because if I don't keep my vow, it's not as bad." That's what they were thinking. It's all messed up. They were not getting it. They were creating technicalities, right? So Jesus is like, I want you to be truthful. I want you to live lives of integrity. Of course, we all know that everyone is a sinner. We all know that everyone lies. We all know this. The teacher in Ecclesiastes said it. He's like, the schemes of men are many. It's just, he's like, okay, right? But the religious leaders had taken something that was a good thing and they created opportunities for loopholes to get out of keeping their promises to God and their promises to people. And Jesus is calling them out. They were trying to sound impressive. They were trying to sound religious. They were trying to sound truthful. But they weren't telling the truth. Jesus was saying, "You are not sincere. Making an oath you intend to break is lying." Hello. Pick up the phone. Right? Look at what the teacher in Ecclesiastes says. Interesting. "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near, to listen, is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God." Why? God is in heaven. You are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It's better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger, "Oh, it was a mistake." Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity, there's hevel. But God is the one you must fear. What's the teacher say? It sounds a lot like Jesus' words, doesn't it? What's the teacher saying? Look, be careful what you say. Be careful because what you say reveals what's in your heart. When you go to the house of God, be quiet. God is in heaven. He is creator. He is king. He is ruler. He is judge. Several times the teacher says, be careful. God is judge. You won't live forever. Someday you'll stand before him and you will hold account. Right? You shouldn't just be spewing religious things out of your mouth when you go to church. You should think before you speak. Think before you make a commitment. Think before you make an oath or vow. Why? It is a significant thing. God will hold you to it. If you make a promise to God, he expects you to keep it. We make promises to our spouses, he expects you to keep it. You make a promise to your friends, to your mom, to your dad, to your neighbor, to your teacher, to your boss, he expects you to keep it. You spoke it. If you aren't going to keep your vow, you know what? It's better just not to say anything. Jesus said in Matthew 12 that we will be judged for every idle word we speak. Paul said we will give an account of ourselves to God in Romans 14. So Jesus wants his followers, first of all, to keep the oaths they've made, avoid careless, insincere oaths, and then he wants us to live lives of simple authenticity. Just, guys, just be truthful. Live lives of truthfulness. We see it at the end here. Verse 37, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. It's like Jesus is saying, keep it simple, guys. Keep it simple. Be honest. Have you ever thought about why? Well, Jesus wants people to be honest. God wants us to be honest because God is truth. He is true. Did you know that? Scripture says it. Look at Isaiah 65. So that he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth. And he who takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten and are hidden from my eyes. God is a God of truth. Jesus wants his followers to live lives of simple truthfulness because he is truth. Have you ever thought about what makes lying a sin? We tend to think, well, because God said, thou shalt not lie. Well, actually, it's even before that. It's sin because God is true, and lying is the opposite of who God is and what God does. When we fail to tell the truth, when we lie, we are acting completely opposite of God. That's what sinfulness is. So God is a God of truth. So be people of truth. Look at Psalm 51. Behold, God, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. That's God's desire. That's Jesus' desire for us. In our heart, what's in our heart comes out in what we say. Be true in your heart. Look at Philippians 1. Paul says, it's my prayer, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Well, Paul's praying, and even before that, he's praying that they would understand the greatness and the amazingness of God's love, and they would be so blown away by it, and they would see how deep it is and just amazing. They would begin to respond to God's love with love back to God and love to each other, so that then they would be pure and blameless. All these true things are in their heart, and they just start to come out. Philippians 4:8. A little later, Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. If I want to have a truthful heart, if you want to have a truthful heart, think about what's true. God is true. Jesus said, I am the way, the, and the life. Think about Jesus. Think about God. Think about his word. God's word is truth. We can count on it, right? But we need to know, Proverbs 6:16-17, there are six things that the Lord hates. Here's the top three. Verse 17, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Lying made the top three. Look at Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who act faithfully, those who are truthful, those who are pure in their heart, they are my delight. Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Wow. Jesus wants his followers to, first of all, keep the oaths they've made. Second, avoid careless, insincere oaths. And three, live lives of simple authenticity. Be truthful. Be truthful. So how do we apply this? What does it look like? Well, here's four simple things. This is the first one. Value truth. Value it. God is true. God's word is truth. God's word is a light to my path. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We should also value speaking truth. Don't you love the commercials right now? Aren't they the best? Everybody's making all these oaths and promises. They're like Pedro. Vote for Pedro. Vote for me. I will make your life better. Right? You'll have the best life ever. All these oaths being made. Who's keeping their promises? Does anybody? We should value truth. If you make a promise, make an oath, don't be a liar. Do it. Here's the next one. Fear God. It's good to fear God. What do I mean? This is what I don't mean. Romans 8:1 says that we don't need to fear condemnation. The idea is this. If you're a believer in Christ, you are in Christ. You do not need to fear eternal judgment. We don't need to fear eternal judgment for our sin. Jesus has paid the price. God's word says that we've been redeemed, justified, forgiven, tons of other things. But both Jesus and Paul say that a judgment is coming. And we need to be sober and think about what we say and what we do. Things will be burned up. Only what we do for Christ and only what we do in a spirit of loving and obeying Christ is what will last. So, be humble. God is in his rightful place, and his rightful place is heaven. He is King, Creator, and Judge. We are on earth, so let your words be few, right? Here's the next one. Keep your word. These are revolutionary, aren't they? Keep your word. If you make a promise, do it. Be faithful. Now, sometimes we make a promise, and we can't fulfill it, okay? And it's not that we were, like, trying to be deceptive or whatever. So this is what I'm not saying. Guys, if you make a promise to your wife and say, honey, I'm going to mow the lawn today, and things happen, and it gets to be 11:50 at night. And you're like, oh man, I made a promise to my wife to, so sorry neighbors, let's mow the lawn, okay? We need to be gracious with each other. We need to be, right? Okay, we're not perfect, okay? Love covers a multitude of sins, right? But also at the same time, don't just make a promise and don't intend to keep it, okay? So be gracious with each other. But here's what I mean. Here's another example. Debbie and I tried to be very careful with our sons when they were little, to not make promises that we couldn't keep. And sometimes, all you have to do is go to Walmart and you can see some of this stuff happen. Little Johnny, if you're good, we'll go to the toy aisle and I'll buy you something. And parents, we can make promises to our kids trying to manipulate them, try and get them to obey us. And it's just, that's what it is. And we, Debbie and I, we just made this commitment. We're not going to mess with that stuff. We're not going to try and make these promises, these crazy things, and have our kids. You want to know the best way to teach your kid how to be a liar? Don't keep your word. Don't. So be careful. Don't make promises you don't intend to keep to your kids. Don't make promises you don't intend to keep to your boss. Right? And here's the last one. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. What happened with the religious leaders was they wanted to add weight to their words, but they also wanted to give themselves an out so they wouldn't swear to God. They would swear by the temple, or they'd swear by the altar, or even perhaps by their own head. And Jesus was like, don't do that. Keep it simple. It's better not to make an oath at all. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I have to be careful with this, because sometimes, you know, we get talking and we start embellishing and they're like, really? That sounds crazy. No, I swear it happened like that. Really? It did. Or maybe we're talking to somebody and we kind of swear or make an oath because they're starting to catch our scent that we're not telling the truth. Oh, no, I swear I didn't buy anything else. Well, the receipt says. That kind of stinks. Now everybody, you can see the receipt. Every time I spend something, Debbie gets a ding on her phone. That's good. It's good. She knows, right? So we have to be careful, right? Here's the thing. Truly, the only way this can happen is if Jesus transforms our hearts. You see, the schemes of men are many. We all fall short of God's glory. Everyone's a sinner, and we need God to forgive us of our sins and to wash us clean through the blood of Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning, and we're talking about lying, but I want you to see that maybe you need to see the truth about yourself and see the truth about God and embrace that truth. Everybody in this room needs Jesus to forgive them of their sins. There's no one exempt. Me, everybody, we all need that. And we need to put our trust in what Jesus did to forgive us of our sins. So I invite you this morning, recognize that I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I get what sin pays. Sin pays death. Sin pays judgment. But here's the good news. Jesus took our sins in his body on the tree so that by his wounds we can be healed. He gives us his righteousness when we put our faith and trust in him. And maybe you're here this morning and you need to do that for the first time. The only way that you can really be truthful and have a heart that truth comes from it is that Jesus transforms it. And you need that initial transformation. But believer, maybe you're here this morning and you need to embrace the truth as well. Sometimes we scheme. Sometimes we try to create loopholes. Sometimes we try to put up smoke screens. Sometimes we don't intend to keep the oaths we make. We're careless. The world is watching. Jesus wants us to be salt and light. Will we be people who keep our oaths? Will we be people who are honest and true? May we be people of truth. May we use truthful words, and may our lives be truthful. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. You know that we're dust. You know that we fail. But God, Jesus is challenging us to think, will we be wise? Will we seek to glorify you? Will we turn to you, the author of truth, the only one who is completely true? Jesus, will we follow you, the way, the truth, and the life? Will we allow your word to be a light to our path? May we value it. May we be people who are different, God. And may we, even though we've fallen 7 times, keep getting up as we walk by faith with Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.